The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided. Three against two, and two against three, they will be divided. Father against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and a daughter against mother, and in-laws against one another. Jesus also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky. But why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Please join me in prayer. O God, thank you for coming into our lives to bring an end to darkness, to forgive sins, to shower us with your love. Please be with all the families who have been torn apart by divisions. Bring healing and forgiveness. Surround us with your love and protection. In the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. I greet you all in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm sure after I finished this text, you might have wondered why I read such a text in the first place. Because it is a reading that is very difficult even for many Christians, with Jesus' destructive fire, stress, division, and judgment. We are probably comfortable with a Jesus that builds up, the Jesus that comforts, the Jesus that brings unity, and Jesus that offers grace. In Isaiah, we hear that he is referred to the Prince of Peace. But here, he promises divisions and not peace. Let me highlight some of the things that you already know. Issues such as abortion, homosexuality, and vaccinations have caused a lot of divisions in our society, even between family members. Christian people have strong views on both sides of these issues and have become increasingly critical and even hateful toward those whose views are different from the other. Is it what Jesus meant when he said he would cause divisions? I'm not sure. But at this point in the story, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, where the conflict has been experiencing with a boil over into a plot to take his life. And he knows that he will soon be baptized, not by water, but by the nails, by the fire kindled with nails and wood. And just now he feels the weight and pressure of what is to come. He is stressed. He is stretched to the point of breaking. So all along, Jesus, he has been hanging around Galilee and have said Jesus is now traveling towards Jerusalem. Crowds continue to gather and to go wherever he goes because, well, he is a pretty cool guy. He has been healing folks along the way. Demons were cast out. He is even trending on Twitter, hashtag Jesus is awesome. Last Sunday, we heard those words of comfort. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." But today, Jesus is confronting and disrupting and turning things upside down. "I did not bring peace, but division." This Jesus feels wrathful and angry and intimidating. And we don't like that kind of Jesus. So when Jesus asked in this text if we think he has come to bring peace on earth, he is really asking, "Do you think I have come to protect this people?" And the answer, of course, is no. But let me tell you something. Those who benefit from the status quo will fight tooth and nail to oppose anyone or everyone who tries to change things. And let's look at it this way. Jesus was rejected by his hometown of Nazareth. His family tried to apprehend him as insane. His brothers also didn't believe in him. The people of Capernaum ran him out of town. And a Samaritan village wouldn't even let him enter into his town, into their town. His distractors said he was demon-possessed and driving mad. The religious elite opposed him fiercely, and many of his disciples quit following him. Rome executed him because people said he told them not to pay their taxes. You can see all these things, they are happening. And people are divided in one way or the other. But I want you to invite to view this text in a different way about anger and wrath through the lenses of God's love, which may feel fierce and overwhelming at some time. But there's a difference between the wrath that is rooted in hatred and the wrath that is grounded in profound love. Anger and fire are metaphorically linked in this passage. But fire is not just a sign of anger. It is a sign of transformation. Think about Moses' encounter with the burning bush at the foot of Mount Sinai. When he encountered the great I Am in the burning bush, the experience leads Moses to a place of conflict with Pharaoh. But at the same time, it also leads to the liberation and freedom of God's chosen people. This was a fire that burned but doesn't destroy. In the book of Daniel, the young Jewish boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, find themselves facing execution by the angry king Nebuchadnezzar because they would not worship the king's idol. They were thrown into the fiery furnace of blazing fire and yet are left unharmed. When the king looks into the blazing furnace, he doesn't see the destruction of the three boys, but his eyes were transformed as his eyes are opened to the presence of God. This was a fire that burned but did not destroy. I want to say this morning, God is the refiner, carefully holding his gaze on each one of us. He refines precious metal until it reflects his own image back at him. The fire of love that consumes whatever is material and earthly, but tests whatever is pure. With this fire, he inflamed the heart of his apostles. So the fire of God's anger is directed at injustice, at oppression, and at the sin of the world and of our lives, at a systemic level and at an individual level. And it burns away until what is precious and beautiful is revealed. This fire edifies us so that we are transformed into the likeness of Christ. It is no wonder that fire has also become to signify the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a fire that burns, but that doesn't destroy. But let's be honest. We are talking about fire here. And we all know that fire does burn and it hurts. The process of transformation is not always without pain. The good news for us is that God is right here with us in the searing heat of the flames, burning with us until it is made pure. Our God is who is the fire, who yearns for his history to come blazing into our lives and for our lives to reveal the beautiful, precious, and loving vision of God. But again, the next time you find yourself standing in the midst of the flames of crisis, remember the strange fire of God. In the name of the Holy Spirit, remember that God is with you in the fire and that you are being molded into something precious and special. When we see only worthless destruction, God sees promise and hope. In this bend and this ashy ground, new life is gonna come. May the church say amen. Jesus says, follow me. Even though there will be conflict, follow me. Even though it might mean breaking with those who refuse to believe in my name. And the whole issue Jesus here is preparing for the kingdom. But Jesus understands the stresses and that promises that the baptism of fire that Jesus underwent in his crucifixion, he endured so that we might have the promise that wherever we are, Jesus has already been. And wherever Jesus now is now, we shall someday be. Jesus dies. We regularly confess our sins, those of both commission and omission. And the promise of the gospel is that there is nothing we can do to lose that forgiveness or the larger inheritance of the abundant life that Jesus won. So Jesus is born, for one thing, to herald the kingdom of God. And to establish this kingdom, he will raise neither the banner nor the sword, but instead hang on the cross, the vulnerable sign of God's new reign. Those who recognize the signs and choose to follow him will not only need to forsake the trappings of power that adorn the lords of the present kingdom, but can also expect resistance and even opposition. So the kingdom of God, he proclaims, represents a new order governed not by mighty, but by forgiveness. not by fear, but by courage, not by power, but humility. Yet those invested in the present order, those who lured by the temptation of wealth, status, and power, and those whose rule now will resist this kingdom, for it spells an end to what they know and love. Hence, Jesus, though coming to establish a rule of peace, brings division, even to the most intimate and honored of relationships, that among the families. But let's be honest, my dear friends, in life, expect plenty of pushback from strangers, from neighbors, from friends, and even from family. And yet, if we fear undergoing this baptism of fire, we might take comfort in the simple yet stark fact, the Lord who comes to baptize with fire and healing, undergoing judgment that we might know pardon, suffering death that we might know life, but now and in the world to come. Thus, looking forward to Jesus and his baptism, we find the courage to look forward, discerning the signs and challenges for our own times, joining our hopes and fears to those of Christians throughout the centuries by praying, "Come, Lord Jesus." Amen.